And now, with over 25 years of experience integrating mental health and spirituality, the author of Reclaiming Authenticity, When Ancestors Weep, and Redeeming the Bereaved, here is Dr. James Houck.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, wherever you are in the world at this time. Welcome to Reclaiming Authenticity, finding one's courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. Very excited to be with you here this day, every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time. And each and every week, these broadcasts focus on the integration of spirituality and our mental health. And it's placed all within the context of our relationships, relationships that we have with ourselves, relationships that we have with others, and relationships that we have with God or the divine. I'm Dr. James Houck, and if you would like more information about me or to leave me your comments about today's show, please visit the website www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. That's www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. And if you would like to be part of the show today, I invite you to call in, give you that number here. That number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And whenever you call in today, make sure you wish Doug Newsom, co-founder of BBS Radio, a very happy birthday. And just a reminder that these broadcasts are podcasted in case you want to go back and listen again, or you can go back into the archives and listen to the previous shows. Again, you can just go right there on the website and you can just click on them and they'll come right up so that you can catch up and stay current with all of these podcasts. Well, for those of you who might be new to the program, the first time listening, I just invite you, welcome, thank you. I'd like to say that I am a firm believer that all of us, and I mean each and every one of us, come into the world already equipped and graced with everything that we need for this life in terms of our giftedness, in terms of our skills and our talents, our strengths, our character traits, our personality, everything. And these things are very special to us. I am convinced more and more each day that this giftedness or this uniqueness that we have is something very special, something very precious. And this is something that the world needs. And that my giftedness and skills and talents and strengths and so forth are not necessarily from myself, but they are meant to be shared with others, to be a blessing for somebody else, or to help them grow in their awareness, their insight, and their giftedness. And likewise, your giftedness, your skills, your talents, your strengths, character traits, and so forth are for the benefit of others. So your giftedness and your uniqueness can be a blessing to me or whoever that you have in your life. So never let anybody tell you that you'll never amount to anything, or never let anybody tell you or have you have them look down on your uniqueness, because this is something, again, as I said, we've been gifted with all these things from God, and we come right into the world with these things. And yeah, we go through life and we learn of them, and we are taught skills, and but we also have talents and strength and that resiliency or that perseverance. Those things we pick up along the way. But in terms of our giftedness, our uniqueness, our hachetas, this is something that is uniquely ours. Kind of like a thumbprint. Everybody has a thumbprint, but no two thumbprints are alike. And so it's the same is true with our uniqueness. We have very distinct traits and very distinct giftedness. And when we share those with others, we use that to be a blessing to others. It just opens doors up for more and more gratitude, love, grace, and for relationships to continue to blossom and heal. So this is what reclaiming authenticity is all about, because there is so much more to us than what we have become so far. And I just want to encourage you to find the courage within to be able to reclaim that which has always been in you from the very, very beginning. So how is your heart today? I hope it is well and that you are well. I hope that if you are even struggling today or you cannot find the peace in your heart, that you will indeed then find rest and comfort and that you'll be able to find that peace that you need. Well, we have just come off celebrating Hanukkah. I just wanted to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah for those who observed Hanukkah, and may all your wishes come true. And can you believe that we are 1 week away from Christmas? Yes, you know, 1 week away. So if, you know, just the time is going by fast. And yes, next Friday will be Christmas Day, but I'll be here next Friday with the broadcast at 3 p.m. But for now, I just wanted to wish everyone an early Merry Christmas, indeed. Well, let's begin today just by thinking the number of teachers that you've had in your life. You know, we all gone through grade school, middle school, high school, college, or whatever, and we've had teachers in, let's say, a more formal setting. And we can all point to maybe one or two or three, definitely on one hand, those teachers who have made a tremendous difference in our lives. And it could be, the things that they have taught us, but it was mainly those things really took root in us when those teachers shared themselves. Those teachers shared the very best of themselves in each and every lesson. Those teachers who taught us more than perhaps what they realized just simply by the genuineness or authenticity that they had. So I just am very fortunate, like you, to have many teachers in my life. Some, like I said, inside the classroom, but there were many others who were outside the classroom. And this is something that we all need to keep in mind, that we learn so much more outside the classroom, not to diminish homework or, you know, inside work or study halls or whatever. That's all necessary. That's all important. But it's outside the classroom is where we apply that knowledge and we gain experience and we really grow in that integration. So I say all that just to as a preface, because I'm going somewhere with this. 2 days ago, I learned of the death of a Sikh leader, Sant Bama Ram Singh from Karnal, India. His death was indeed a protest against the injustices that were being committed against the farmers. And he had tried several times to get government to listen, to change. But it just seemed like the farmers were being taken advantage of and they were literally being starved. And it was unfortunate that the death of Baba Ram Singh had come at such a crucial time. But he has indeed left a legacy, as well as many teachings and how he lived by example. And I share this to say that I met him about 5 years ago when I was in India. And if have ever heard me talk about I did a broadcast one time that was entitled "Looking for the Butter in Every Bowl of Milk," Well, it was Baba Ram Singh who taught me this story, all while we were sharing a cup of chai and some cookies. And like I said, it was about 5 years ago. He was very gracious, just very gracious indeed, very kind, very soft-spoken, but very authentic, very genuine. And it was my first time in India, and I knew I'd be visiting some spiritual leaders. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, you don't show up empty-handed. So what can I bring from the States, here in Pennsylvania? What could I bring him as a way of like, this comes from where I live? And so it was late November when we were visiting. So I thought, what better gift to bring than some apple butter? Okay, because out here in Pennsylvania, we are, we love our apple festivals and anything that you can make out of apples, we do. And apple butter is definitely something I look forward to each and every year. It's just delicious on toast. If you have never tried it, then you have not lived. So you need to go out and get you some. But anyway, I took about two or three jars, I can't remember, of apple butter. And when we met with him, everybody just graciously bowed and just thanked him for his graciousness. And one by one, we took up our gifts. And I took him the apple butter and I just placed it at his feet, bowed again, and just went back. And I sat down on the floor. And I'll never forget his expression because he looked so surprised. Like he couldn't believe that I had brought him apple butter. And I was sitting there not knowing what's going on. I thought I was in trouble. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I insulted him. I'm going to get arrested. Everything's running through my mind just rapidly. But then all of a sudden, he got a smile on his face and he explained through an interpreter there that since he was diabetic, his sugar would sometimes drop in the middle of the night. So his doctor suggested that every now and then he take a spoon of apple butter to bring his levels up and he would be okay. And little did I realize that this was exactly what he needed. And who would have thought, apple butter? And he was elated. Like I said, just a huge, huge smile. And we hit it off immediately. I also had the opportunity, and I took my Native American flute that you hear at the beginning and middle and end of this broadcast. I also had the opportunity to play that flute for him as a blessing, just as a way of thank you for your gracious hospitality. And I think we stayed there 4, maybe 5 days. And I was just struck by his humility and compassion he had for the people. And there was also a time during that week when his Gurdwara and his staff provided healthcare services to anyone who showed up. And I was very moved to see the overwhelming need of people from all conditions and status show up to be seen and treated. And this was an ongoing basis. This is something that they did twice a week. And like I said, the crowds were just overwhelming. Just the need was great. And yet he turned no one away. Everybody was seen, everybody was provided for. And it just deeply, deeply moved. So again, I say all this just to say that teachers are everywhere, even in the most unlikely places. And like I said, perhaps the greatest teachers are the ones that we find outside the classroom, where their presence always extends beyond time and space. And this is especially true and certainly relevant to our topic today, namely spirit animals, who often show up at the right time and at the right place in order to teach us something about ourselves. Well, the other night, I had convinced my wife to watch a documentary on Netflix, and it was entitled My Octopus Teacher. And she was surprised I wanted to see it because I'm not really a big fan of documentaries per se. But it was like, no, there was something that was just stirring in my soul that just said, turn it on, watch it. You need to see it. And maybe you've seen it. It is an interesting documentary, to say the least. I won't share everything about the story, just in case you haven't seen it, but I highly recommend it. But what touched me was the story itself. It was the way in which this professional photographer who loved the scuba dive, and he was living in South Africa, and he would just go out into the ocean pretty much every day. And he would just love to be in the water. He just loved the life that just emerged in the ocean. And he one day just came across this octopus. It was just kind of minding, you know, her own business and going about it. And he's just like, oh, this is fascinating. And so for a year, he spent his free time going into the ocean, but he would always search for her. It's like, you know, I wonder where this octopus is. And he would watch her, and he would study the way in which she not only searched for food or protected herself, but also how she struggled for survival every day, because, of course, there were sharks in the water. And so he had to be careful as well, but he was more concerned about her safety, because if she couldn't find, you know, a way to crawl under a rock and be safe, well, she's, you know, her life would be in danger. And anyway, and interesting enough, the more he reflected on this octopus's characteristics and just how she moved and her behavior and everything, the more he started to reflect and understand himself and his relationships. And I don't know, again, have you ever stopped to consider just how much animals are a part of our lives? We have animal lovers, and certainly I'm an animal lover by heart. And yes, you know, some of them we have for pets, our cats or dogs. Some people have snakes. Some people have ferrets. Whatever your pet is, you know how special and how quickly we can become attached to animals. But there are also other creatures who make their home, shall we say, in the sky, or make their home on the earth, or even under the earth, or make their home in oceans or lakes or streams or bays or creeks. And the animal world has much to teach us. You know, that is, if we are willing to be aware of when and where and why and how they show up. Again, I don't think this is something that's random. I think this is very purposeful. It's just how much are we paying attention to what's going on, because they are wonderful teachers indeed. And just did a, you know, as I was preparing for this show, I just did a quick search of scripture, and there are many, many, many examples of how God has used and spoken through animals in order to convey spiritual truths to people. And one of my favorite passages is found in Psalm 91, just the very first couple of verses, you know, and just talks about how God will raise you up on the wings of eagles and bear you on the breath of dawn and make you to shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of God's hands. And there's also another passage in Proverbs, I think it's the 6th chapter, that encourages us to go to the ant and learn of its ways. Consider how it moves. It doesn't have a commander. It doesn't have somebody in charge, but yet it gets a lot of things done. And if you've ever watched ants coming out of an anthill, or let's say you're fond of picnicking on nice, beautiful, warm days, you know it doesn't take long before ants start to show up. And ants are very strong. They can just, you know, carry and move just a lot more than their body weight. So again, that's what I mean when, you know, paying attention to the animals, and just not just how they show up or where they show up, but what's going on? You know, is there a lesson in just taking a step back and watching them? Well, I don't know if you have ever heard of spirit animals, or it doesn't matter even if you believe in them or not. They're called spirit animals because they often speak to us in the higher realms of the spirit. And basically, a spirit animal is characterized as a teacher, or let's say a messenger, that comes in the form of an animal and has a personal relationship to the individual, perhaps much in the same way like the documentary My Octopus Teacher. And very similar to, let's say, a saint or an angel, but not exactly the same thing. I mean, spirit animals have very specific kinds of energy that match what we are manifesting and aligning with at the time when they show up. And this is what I'm saying. We need to pay attention to this, because what's coming up in our life? Are we on the cusp of something new? Or are we going through something very difficult? And we sit and we learn from that animal what they are teaching us just by who they are. And what insights can we gain from that? So, in other words, the characteristics and activities of these spirit animals reveal much about our innate strength and ability. Well, in Native American circles, certain animals carried with them a sense of power and mystery and spirituality. For example, the buffalo is extremely significant for the Plains Native Americans. And certainly among the Lakota, it is believed that, as the story goes, one day a beautiful woman dressed in white buffalo fur appeared, and she brought the sacred pipe and the teaching that showed how all things are connected. And at this time, she also taught the men and the women many mysteries, such as how to pray and how to follow a sacred path, and she taught them how to receive abundance. She taught them that they didn't need to struggle in order to survive, that if you have the right action, join with the right prayer, you will succeed, you will do well. But, you know, whenever you study the buffalo more closely, you certainly discover its unique characteristics. In fact, just by observing a buffalo's behavior, you can find great application to our lives. And this is what I mean. Buffalo teaches us something about the storms that we face in life and how do we handle this. And when you think about it, most animals run from storms. They know it's coming. They don't like it. They get agitated and they're out of here. The buffalo instead puts its head down and walks toward the storm. It doesn't run. It faces the storm head on, and like I said, it puts its head down and it goes right into the storm. So whenever we study the characteristics of animals, we develop a sense of kinship with them, and we realize how interdependent we are with them. Well, perhaps if you're not familiar with spirit animals, then let's say you've seen a totem pole, and you know that there are all kinds of animals carved into the wood, and totem poles are just beautifully, beautifully done. They are just very striking. Some remain unpainted, whereas others are painted in beautiful, beautiful colors. Now, for the indigenous people, a totem pole tells a story of who they are, or tells a story of their tribe. And this includes legends and history and culture. And these poles often depict a family's status in the community, or let's say their origins and their lineages, and their rights and privileges, let's say their supernatural experiences or their territories, their marriages and memorials. In other words, a totem pole is a complete family history created to last for all eternity. Well, if you've ever gone online and just, let's say, Googled spirit animals, what comes up is just a whole host of information. And it's also interesting to note that there are several online tests and quizzes that you can take to determine whether or not you might have a spirit, spirit animal. I don't necessarily recommend, taking a test or a quiz like that, paper and pencil or whatever, because there are other more subjective affirming ways to see if a spirit animal wants to connect with you. And I say that very carefully. It's like, well, we may want to connect with the spirit animal, but does that animal want to connect with us? Okay. And I'll give you an example here. Have you ever noticed, either from childhood or even where you are today, to which animals are you drawn to? Which ones keep coming up? Which ones speak to you in terms of every time that you see it or you have it mentioned, your heart seems to flutter a little bit more in a good way? You have this peace, you have this joy whenever the animal, whenever you see the animal. Well, for me, there were three distinct times when spirit animals showed up. And they all had this unique message that revealed something deeper within myself. Taking note of their characteristics and traits that would often follow as a result, reminding me something about myself or teaching me something about myself or showing me something that has yet to be manifested. And the very first spirit animal that I can remember is a panda. I was always drawn to pandas, or let's say, maybe they were drawn to me. I loved their fur with its black and white coloring. I just thought they were the greatest things. I was fascinated by them. So as a kid, I collected books or posters or anything that reminded me of pandas. And I didn't realize at the time, but with the benefit of hindsight now, the pandas are considered one of the most adaptable animals on the planet. I mean, think about it this way. These bears, panda bears, were once carnivores, but they've adapted to an almost 100% plant diet due to the habitat they live in. I mean, just watch them take down a bamboo tree. They're chow hounds. They'll just munch away. It's just incredible. But that's how they've adapted. And perhaps when pandas show up, it gives us, they're giving us a gift of adaptability. And maybe they're teaching us that we need to adapt to the circumstances and the environment we're in so that we can survive and strive forward towards our goals. And looking back now, I mean, this was characteristic of my childhood. You could place me in any situation, in any environment, I could adjust, I could adapt, and I would be fine. Almost, as I got a little bit older, people just, claimed that I must be part chameleon because I just kind of took on the surroundings of where I was, and I did fine. It was very effortless for me to adapt. Well, the next story is of how a spirit animal showed up in my life is perhaps not the most pain-free way of being introduced to a spirit animal. Several years ago, I was out mowing grass. It was a hot July day, and where I was, trying to get done, and all of a sudden, whoops, I stepped on a ground nest, and I was stung a little over 30 times by the bees that were there, yellow jackets. My arms, my legs, my back, my neck. Fortunately, I wasn't stung on my face, but it didn't matter. I was stung everywhere else. I was miserable for days. The itching and the swelling was unbearable. You know what it's like if you get stung. But yet, what makes this story unique was that 2 weeks later, I was out mowing grass, and I stepped on another ground nest, and I was stung about 23, 24 times. Still, there's more to the story, and this is where the story gets really interesting. My mother, growing up, was allergic to bees. I mean, I saw her one time just get stung, and she you know, get swollen, and she couldn't breathe and so forth, and so she had to be very careful not to get stung by bees because she would go into an anaphylactic shock. So she typically carried two EpiPens with her in her purse. And if you know anything about EpiPens, you only need one, but she needed two. She wasn't taking any chances. That's how allergic that she was. I mean, it's just a matter of life and death for her if she got stung. So after the first incident and getting stung 30 times, and I finally ridding myself of the bees and like, okay, are they all off me? I kind of stood there for a while and I waited to see what was going to happen. And you know what? Nothing happened. And I said to myself, well, okay, I guess I didn't inherit that from my mother. But still, I didn't know because, I was just never stung that many times. Although I think science says you can be stung thousands of times and you'd still be okay. But I didn't know. Okay. So looking back on those incidences, I learned some very valuable lessons regarding the bees. The first is don't step on a ground nest. Bees get a little testy, okay? Yeah, they will attack because they think they're being attacked. So don't step on a ground nest. The second thing is in understanding the characteristics of bees, they taught me something about doing the impossible. Because you see, technically speaking, bees should not be able to fly. Bees are designed, all wrong aerodynamically. They can't do it. Just their body weight and the size of their wings just doesn't match up. Now, I sincerely doubt that a bee knows that it shouldn't fly. It just simply does. But bees can carry about 300 times their weight and never shirk their duties to kind of going around and benefiting the community and pollinating and making honey and so forth. And they also have time to, shall we say, stop and smell the roses every day. Okay. So from a spiritual perspective, bees, this really speaks of our limitations and how to move past them successfully. Bees also demonstrate how they can accomplish things that go beyond logic. And so, to quote a fun movie that I watched years ago, the bumblebee flies anyway. And so, this is a reminder that nothing is impossible. That just because it looks impossible on the outside, just remember the bee, and it flies. Anyway, it flies in spite of the fact where it just doesn't make sense. Okay. Well, let me tell you one more story before the break about vultures, because this was the third spirit animal that showed up. In fact, there were many. One summer day, I don't know why these things always happen to me in the summer, but they happen. So one summer day, my daughter Beth and I heard all this racket, all this noise outside, and a bunch of cackling going on, and just leaves rustling, and tree limbs and all that stuff. I'm like, what in the world is going on out there? And so we went outside, and here in the front, there were about 20 or so vultures in the trees. And they were just hanging out, and they were just talking to each other and just like, oh, whatever, okay. And my daughter tried to shoo them away, but I remember I just kind of looked at her as if to say, yeah, kid, it's going to take a lot more than that to get us to move. So we stood there for the longest time just looking at them, just fascinated. I don't know if you've ever seen a buzzard up close or a vulture up close, but yeah, they might be a little homely, but they are powerful creatures. And as long as we were looking at them, they were looking right back at us. And then all of a sudden, in a single moment, they took off and they flew towards us. And just over our heads, about 8 feet or so, I would say, to the point that we heard and felt their strong winds. you know, wings. And the wind that they were just kicking up with these powerful wings was just like, it was breathtaking. And they took off. And we just, okay, where did they go? And again, things like this just don't happen. So I did some research. I listened intently during my meditations, and I came to realize the wonderful beauty and significance of vultures. For example, they are the ones who, let's see, they can eat anything and not die, shall we say. I mean, they eat roadkill or anything else they find lying dead on the ground, which would kill us. We would definitely die of botulism. They don't care. They will pick a carcass clean. And the Mayan culture have always considered vultures as a symbol of cleanliness or a symbol of transformation. And the vulture is, shall we say, just loose terms, the garbage collector of the wild. Well, again, from a spiritual standpoint, vultures teach us the importance of not only keeping our environment clean, but they also speak of transformation from that which is dead to that which gives life. And for me, at that time in my life, it was all about letting go of those things in my life that no longer served me. Kind of a spiritual pruning away of the dead things, in order that new life and new energies and new insights can emerge. Well, since that time, I have encountered many more spirit animals who have just shown up just, you know, in just unpredictable ways. Crows have shown up and just called loudly to each other, and they would just fly overhead. And when they would be out of my sight, they would stop calling. And I've been serenaded by crickets in the evening. I've danced with a praying mantis. I soared with a golden eagle. I heard even the sound of whales in my dreams. And it's all about awareness, you know, being aware of what and who is happening around you. It's about being open to reading the signs and understanding that God is speaking to us always and everywhere. And are we paying attention? Well, I would really love to hear your heart on this subject of spirit animals, and perhaps you've had similar experiences. So if you would like to call in after the break, the number again is 888-627-6008. And I'll be taking your calls after the break. And again, you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity, and I'm your host, Dr. James Houck. And I'll be back with you in 1 minute. Well, welcome back. I'm Dr. James Houck, and you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. Again, just a word about next week's show. That's right. It's December 25th, Christmas Day. I will be with you next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time. I don't have a title, so I can't tell you what I'm going to be speaking on, but as it gets closer, I will send out notices, and I will have a lot to share. So again, wishing everybody a very early Merry, Merry Christmas. Well, at the earlier in the show, I was talking about how fortunate we are to have many teachers in our lives, some inside the classroom, and there are also many others who, you know, just many, many others outside the classroom. And I shared that a couple of days ago, I learned of the death of the Sikh leader, Baba Ram Singh from Karnal, India, and shared a little bit of just how he touched my life when I was there. And one of the lessons that he definitely taught me, not only through his actions and his compassion and genuineness, but he also taught me the Sikh story of looking for the butter in every bowl of milk. And I said it was like 5 years ago when he shared this with me, and I've never forgotten it. I just there's a lesson in there every time. It is a very prominent Sikh story, one that just says, you know, certainly, you know, as you have a bowl of milk, or if we have milk and we churn it and churn it and churn it, eventually it'll turn into butter. But prior to that, are we able to see the butter in every bowl of milk? In other words, can we see things in other people that are below the surface? In other words, the best things that are within. And so it's just a tremendous, tremendous lesson that he had shared with me. And there was also a time, like I said, where his Gurdwara and staff provided healthcare services to anyone who showed up. And like I said, it was just unbelievable because his Gurdwara was in the middle of really nowhere. It was on the outskirts of town, and yet all these people had shown up, and just like, wow, they just kept coming because the needs are so great. But yet his compassion just overflowed, and he turned no one away. And that experience also reminded me of another story that I had never forgotten. It was a story that was told to me by Dr. Randy Nugent. He was then General Secretary of the Board of Global Ministries in New York City, and a wonderful man, just huge. I mean, this guy is just a giant. But again, his authenticity, his genuineness, his gentleness, and peace that he had in the heart was just incredible. So one day when we were visiting, Dr. Randy Nugent had shared this story. We were just taking a tour of the Board of Global Ministries. And he told us a story about a time when he was serving in Africa in a clinic. And again, people would come from all walks of life. I don't recall how often the clinic would be open, but I'm sure it was open every day. And he said as he was working there, he noticed a little girl who would show up, and she would just all by herself. She was probably about 8 or 9 or 10 years old, something like that. And she kept showing up every week for food and treatment. And he knew she was not a local. So one time, you know, just curiosity got the better of him. And he asked her, where do you live? Where do you come from? Where are your parents? And she shared that she didn't have any parents. And, you know, she told him the town in which she lived. And he was surprised. And he said, well, you certainly live closer to other hospitals or other places where you can get food and treatment. Why come all the way out here? Why, you know, make this almost like a day's trip in order to come to us? And she said, without missing a beat, she said, because your hands are different. And she held up her little hand. She said, your hands are different. In other words, yeah, I can get food, I can get treatment anywhere, but it's how you give the food, it's how you give the treatment, it's how you treat the people that makes all the difference. Never forgotten that story. It was just something in her own little way. This girl was touched. Well, let's go deeper in our talk about spirit animals. Yes, there are many things they they have to teach us just by paying attention and learning about their characteristics, and how they teach us to apply these same characteristics to our lives. But let's also look at how they show up in our dreams, not only as messengers, but also as, let's say, protectors or providers. I know talking with some people that their spirit animals show up in a time in which they need to really pay attention to something going on, or there's just a tremendous danger or something that they need to heed. And so their spirit animal would show up as a means of just saying, look, you need to pay attention to this, and so forth. So as I shared earlier in the broadcast, that I heard the sound of whales in my dreams. And if you've never heard the sound of whales, it's kind of eerie, but yet at the same time, very beautiful. And also in that dream, I saw kind of the outline of New Zealand. And I kept seeing whales that were just swimming in a clockwise fashion around New Zealand. And I kept hearing the sound that they were making in my dreams. And I thought immediately of the Maori people, and didn't know anything about, what was going on at that time for the Maori people. But again, they were in need. So I understood that the sound of the whales were encouraging me to take that opportunity to pray for the Maori people. They are indigenous and very proud people, and they were having some struggles of their own. And so certainly interceding and praying for them, I was very pleased to do so. And it took the sound of the whales to remind me of them, and give them the opportunity to pray and just to meditate, or just ask that God would just intervene on somehow, some way, and provide their needs. And again, just get thoroughly amazed at the how animals like whales would show up in dreams and just kind of nudge us to say, we need your help, or you need to do this, or pay attention to that. And again, I don't think these times are accidental. I mean, we can certainly, if we want to look at it this way, we can certainly, ask God to meet that person's need, or better still, call that person to just see how they're doing. And, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but we could be driving down the road and, highway, freeway, or wherever. And we're just minding our own business. And all of a sudden, somebody comes to mind. Somebody you haven't thought about for a while. And again, I don't think this is just coincidental. It's certainly like, I haven't talked to that person in a long time, or I wonder how they're doing. And even if we don't know the exact situation or the circumstances of that person who's just being brought to mind, we can still, with eyes open — don't close your eyes and drive, but with eyes open — just, God take care of them today. God meet their needs. Be a blessing to them. Remind them that they are loved and cared for. Amen. Something just very short and sweet and to the point. And then when we get home, just, I need to check on them. I just need to give them a call and just, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. Just want to make sure everything's okay. And, we'll be surprised that when we do that, the gratitude that is expressed by, the other person who we tell that, they came to mind, and that they can also be reminded that, yes, somebody cared enough to pray for them. And when I've done that, I've it's never backfired. It's always — the person was just in so much gratitude that somebody had been praying for them. And again, just the joy that brings them. And always leave it with, hey, if I ever come to mind, and to you, please do the same for me. please pray for me as well. So if these incidences, when we're driving or something, when people come to mind, if these incidences are very common, why shouldn't God use animals to get our attention? Well, right before the break, I was just sharing the four times in my life when spirit animals really got my attention. I didn't share with you the fourth one. And this happened last year when I was in India. It was the fourth time I was visiting India. And I talked a little bit about this, my expectations and, what I wanted to do when I was there, as if God would say, yeah, sure, go ahead and do your own thing and just don't mind me. But I think I had set the intention before I left for India to I wanted to see God. I wanted to see God amongst the people. I wanted to see, where is God? Where can God be found? And I came away from that trip understanding that, God is found in the most unlikely places. Again, if we're just paying attention. And again, as I think back, as I reflect on the people that I met there, these were people who just pretty much went through life, minded their own business. Some were farmers. Some, sold their goods and their wares in town. Other people did other things. But again, it was just very special because there were little blessings along the way that just kind of opened my eyes and just reminded me of, you want to see God, look at the people. And see how they live their lives, see how God is providing for them, and so on and so forth. Well, the fourth time a spirit animal showed up in my life, again, is just all this defies logic. It just doesn't make sense, but yet it happened. And I was taking a trip, part of the trip inside of a trip, I should say, that I wanted to trek the Himalayas. Now, not the huge white-capped Himalayas that we see in stories or movies, but I was certainly, I wanted to be at the foothills, and I wanted to go into the Himalayas and to kind of take a spiritual journey, shall I say. And I had an English-speaking guide. First of all, I had to take a train up from Delhi and get there, and then it was another 2 hours into the Himalayas. And then from there, it was another hour ride as to where we would begin. So as we were driving along, and of course the roads are twisting and winding and some were paved, some were unpaved, we came to this one, we came out of a turn and we had this long, just straight stretch of road, and there were mountains on either side of us. And I remember, like, up ahead, this leopard jumps down, and he's just coming down from the mountain and just jumps right on the road right in front of us. And the guide who was driving, stopped a good distance away, and his eyes got really wide, and the leopard was just looking straight at me. And then all of a sudden it takes off and just goes down, over the bank and just goes about its merry way. And the guide, he was just dumbstruck, because, again, he was telling me that leopards don't do that. They, they're predators, but they come out at night. They don't come out during the daylight. They are known to attack people, but they don't do it during the day. And so to see a leopard during the day is very, very rare. And he just didn't know what to make of it. I kind of had an idea, because, like, after he told me that, it's like, okay, what's the lesson here? What does the leopard want me, want me to learn? And indeed, a leopard is very powerful. It also speaks of a time of, again, transformation in indigenous cultures. They just see the leopard as one who can adapt, one who can live in extreme situations and survive. And so I've just like I said, I've benefited greatly by other animals that just show up at the right place at the right time, either to remind me of something or prepare me for something. This is pretty much how it's been with me in my own experiences of spirit animals. And so I strongly believe in them, whether they show up in our dreams or whether we see them. And again, I can't remember if I shared this early on in the broadcast or not, but a lot of people like to make distinctions between spirit animals. Almost as if they're saying, like, well, okay, if you come across a spirit animal who's, like, say, a frog, that doesn't really count. As if they're, you know, spirit animals are one's better than the other. And again, that's just not true, because every animal has its own unique characteristics, kind of like us. Each animal has its own strength, kind of like us. Each animal has its own personality, its own way of living in the world or surviving in the world, just like us. Okay. And to make that distinction, to say that one animal is, you know, by far over and above the others is just not properly understanding who the animal is or how the animal functions in our lives. So a lot of people want to, like, they want a lion or they want a cheetah or something powerful. But again, we can't make that distinction when it comes to spirit animals because they show up at just the right time. But yet they have wonderful messages for us. Each one is distinct, just like us. So I would invite you to pay attention to the animals that show up in your life, the indigenous animals, maybe not a dog or a cat, but what animals are you drawn to? What animals are drawn to you? Pay attention to them. Do a little research. Learn of them. What are their characteristics and how might they speak to you? Well, you have been listening to Reclaiming. I was your host, Dr. James Houck, and again, just wishing everybody an early Merry Christmas, and I will be back with you next Friday, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, everybody, please be safe, and God bless.
For an answer, or just to leave 1,000 comments, or prodding to buy a book by Dr. Houck, it's all there. Just wander on over to ReclaimingAuthenticity.com and click around. And we'll see you next Friday at noon Pacific time on PBS Radio TV.